Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Good afternoon and welcome to the Reasonable Voices radio talk show. My guest today is a friend and frequent guest, the filmmaker, actress, journalist, producer, director, she's all those things, Cassidy McMillan. Cassidy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
I'm so glad to have you on. And of course, the primary reason we talk to Cassidy is because she is the award-winning film director, producer, writer, actress, and journalist who has directed and produced and written the feature documentary film Bullies and Friends, which, by the way, if you have missed this in the past, Bullies and Friends provides solutions to bullying to teens and schools and parents. It's currently prepped for worldwide TV and DVD release. Of course, Cassidy goes all around, is quite available as an expert speaker on bullying prevention. She is also the communications director for a nonprofit education organization. Bullies and Friends is based on the true story of a 14-year-old girl who was bullied and subsequently hanged herself. Cassidy, give us the background of the 14-year-old. Why don't we start there?
Her name was Dawn Marie, and she was a bright 14-year-old girl. She wanted to potentially become an actress. She cared about animals, was very outgoing, personable, well-liked, popular. And three girls at her school bullied her, started from one girl who was jealous of her and her friendship with another girl. And from there, it kind of snowballed, and these three girls, like I said, bullied her, and one of them threatened her with death, actually. And so this young 14-year-old girl, unfortunately, hung herself in her bedroom with her dog's leash, and her younger brother was the one to find her when he went into her bedroom to get her for the family dinner. So there you have her mom and dad preparing dinner in the kitchen, and she unfortunately was deceased. And in her suicide note, she named these three girls and told a little bit of what had been going on. And the incident led to a precedent-setting court case in North America where, for the first time in North America, teens were charged with bullying. So all three of these girls stood trial for their actions.
It is a silver lining. It's just difficult to use that phrase, you know, when a young teenager's taken her life. It doesn't mean that you're weak when you're targeted by a bully, but, you know, the constant harassment by your peers is not, at any age, is not easy to take, and especially at the formative years of teenagers. But in addition to the trial, I guess we can also say the silver lining is that you heard of this and it inspired you to make bullies and friends, and that in turn, bullies and friends, is requested by schools in over 14 countries so far. People want to see it. Parents want to see it with their children, and children and parents both, and teachers. They all come to you and ask. I guess they look for reassurances. What can they do? How do they approach you, and how do you respond? I mean, the film is powerful enough, but when people come to you after and talk to you, what do they ask of you?
Many educators ask me what they can do in their school to prevent bullying, and then what they should do when kids report it to them. And so that's a lot of my work that I do, as well as the speaking engagements that I do at schools or youth organizations, our parents groups. And parents ask me, you know, what are warning signs we should look for? Because often the kids will hide from their parents that they're being threatened and harassed, physically abused. You know, we're talking about kids that are harassed, cyberbullied, and, you know, it's relentless, and it's 24/7.
Yes.
And but kids will try and hide it from their parents, thinking that they did something wrong. So in my work, I work with parents to help them look for warning signs, for them to get involved with what their kids are looking at on social media or on their computer, and to find out, you know, what's going on every day in their school day, and to talk with their kids about what bullying is, to define it as the physical, emotional, verbal abuse and harassment and threat that it is. Then in my work with schools, I help them look for the signs of what's going on in their own school hallways and classrooms, and what's going on off campus, and to be able to deal with that and know that what does go on off campus does directly impact and affect what goes on school grounds.
Yes.
And that both of these things must be dealt with. Yeah, like you said, when I heard about the story of what happened, I just felt like, wow, I can't believe this is going on, where children, even as young as 9 years old, are taking their lives due to being threatened, harassed, intimidated, assaulted. And I was just like, wow, someone should really do something about this. And I, you know, kind of looked around and said, well, I guess it, you know, must be me, you know, that maybe I'll do something about it. And as a filmmaker and actress, I always have felt and continue to feel that we can address social issues through the use of film.
Yes.
And using that as a way to shine a light on an issue or a cause that needs to be addressed.
Well, it is, you know, it is true. You get a large audience in the darkness of a movie theater, and you give them edutainment, as some call it. Rightly or wrongly, we get a great deal. People believe what they see in movies, and so it does sort of add an added layer of responsibility, if you will, for filmmakers, because not only to entertain, but to teach us life lessons that we somehow, you know, not everybody picks up a book or is a newspaper, and, you know, the news is so depressing sometimes. And also, I think, especially when it comes to bullying, it is an issue that gets crowded out. When it comes to children, I think we think, oh, it's just a rite of passage. It's just the way things are. But bullying permeates our society, in the workplace, as well as the playground. But most of all, something I did not have to deal with, even though I was bullied and stood up to my bully and ended that. But one thing I did not have to deal with that you've touched on already is the internet. It's cyberbullying. It's like the child never gets a break, because we need, I mean, all education now is connected through the internet. You even get homework assignments on the internet. Is there just no escaping it? And what does a child and parent do to make the school aware, and vice versa? How do we tell the story besides obviously making bullies and friends?
That's a great question. With schools, Like, again, I tell them that they need to get involved and know what their students are doing on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And some schools now, like, there's at least one school that I'm aware of in the Los Angeles area that actually prohibits any student from having any social media account whatsoever.
Mm.
And that might be the way to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, where it's like, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a free society, but, you know, parents really need to set the standard, as do schools, you know, to say, like, for schools, if they, you know, a child is going to be a student here, then they cannot have a social media account of any kind, you know, whether it's Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Snapchat, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because a lot of kids, too, some of them look at their status in school as, oh, how many quote-unquote followers do
yes.
I have on Twitter?
Yes.
Or how many people just liked my last post? So there's that aspect in addition to the threats and harassment, insults, malicious lies being spread or told about kids through other kids' social media accounts. Because, you know, for instance, it's not just enough for a parent to say, you know, like, to their son, Michael, you know, like, oh, you can't have a social media account or don't be on social media or the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to just prevent them from being bullied because the other kids are on there saying things, posting things, you know, 24/7.
Exactly.
So it's a group effort between parents, schools to limit that kind of activity and prevent it. I mean, just think about if we in the adult workplace, you know, we work with people who, if we went into work and let's say they threatened us or harassed us, said, hey, at 5 p.m. I'm going to beat you up in the parking lot after work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, number one, we have laws against that.
Exactly.
As adults. But yet we seem to just allow this to go on for children as if to say, oh, if you're under 18, then it's okay if
it's
you're
okay.
physically
yeah.
assaulted, beaten up, harassed, threatened, attacked. So yeah, imagine if we then came home from our workplace and then we heard, oh, so-and-so from work just posted awful things about you online. I mean, again, right, that's why we have human resource departments, you know, employee relations departments at workplaces, and there's federal laws and state laws and all that, yet there's nothing for children,
mm-hmm.
you know, that of the same length that we take care of adults in the workplace. So just something that we collectively need to look at and realize that threats are threats, whether you're under 18 in school or over 18 in the workplace.
Exactly. You've so hit it. Also, what we should mention is that your film, Bullies and Friends, deals also with the bully. And in many cases, I think you've told me before, you find that the bully is a victim of having been bullied. Is that the norm?
Exactly. Most times a child who's committing aggressive acts, there's something behind that going on, whether they are, you know, maybe there's abuse at their home or they are being abused elsewhere, you know, in after school classes or programs or at school, or they're being bullied by another student. Other times a child who's aggressive behavior could be sociopathic, and you know, therefore they have no empathy, and that's something where the parent would need to get some counseling and, you know, mediate and find out what's going on. It's
mm-hmm.
not just not to say, oh, you bullied, you harassed, insulted, hit another student, so we're expelling you or suspending you, or you know, you have to sit in the principal's office for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't take care of any of the situation. You
exactly.
know, you have to get to the root cause of what's going on, as well as it might be in a lot of situations, children just don't know how to deal with what they're feeling. So,
yes.
like in this instance with Dawn Marie, one of the girls was jealous of her friendship with another girl. Like, she just felt, well, I want to be more included. And so instead of maybe working on her friendship skills, she just said, well, I'm going to go around and spread lies about her and threaten her with death. You know, so kids just don't have the emotional capacity to deal with things. And when we think about it, the human brain actually isn't fully developed until one is in their 20s.
Exactly.
So, you know, physiologically as well, there's that issue there, that kids aren't physically, mentally equipped to handle and process a lot of these things, you know, to know how to deal with jealousy or to know how to better communicate their feelings or to socially interact. So, in this film, we don't just label certain children as bullies or they're the problem. We get to the root cause. And again, some kids might just have sociopathic tendencies, as one of the students I feel in this matter did and kind of came out in the court case.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in this film, we do have one of the three girls who stood trial for bullying. And at the beginning of the, you know, 2-hour film, audiences, you know, have said, yeah, they kind of want to hate this girl, not like her, you know, because maybe some of her actions led to the death of this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the film, there really is that story arc where you see that this one of the three girls who was on trial did feel empathy, felt totally remorseful, and did not intend her actions to harm the other girl. In fact, she was acquitted by the judge in the court case. But with that said, the girl still feels guilty. And in the film, what's really powerful is she tells kids what they can do right now to stop bullying and how to better communicate, and talks about the exact specific things she would do differently that could have prevented this girl's death.
It's such an exceptional work in that sense. It's not only a great cinematic work, but that it gives that full picture, that the full story, the both sides, all sides, parents and educators, and the bully target, the tragic possibilities, and yet the hope of doing things differently. But I thank you especially for two things that you remind us of. That in many schools, still, the punishment, you know, one can be expelled or suspended, but once you're not at that level, if you're not there, the answer still is you sit in the principal's office for an hour. It's, you know, that is still thought to be an answer to something, a solution to a problem is beyond me. But I'm glad you reminded us of that, and also that there are ways to approach kids, and because they're not yet fully developed, we acknowledge that, we've told that, you know, that intellectually, mentally, emotionally, as you've said, they're not fully developed yet, so they need more than sitting an hour in the principal's office. They need counseling, they need guidance, they need adults to be listening with more than their ears. It's a parent thing, it's an educator thing, it's an administration thing, it's a legal thing. It requires society to pay attention. I guess that's what I'm after. Now, I know we mentioned we've got to take a break soon, and we'll come back and spend more time on this, but we mentioned that the film is set for release and has been requested by schools in over 14 countries. I know you have a worldwide distributor, but do you have advertisers, and do you need advertisers?
Corporate advertisers and companies to get involved and show their customer that they are concerned about bullying and that they're supportive of bullying prevention and suicide prevention. And so, yes, because like you said, while this independent film, this 2-hour movie, has a distribution company wanting to release it worldwide, distribution companies don't pay for many, if not all, of the pre-release costs, which include FCC closed captioning, which is in the thousands of dollars, and film insurance that all TV shows and films have to have. And again, that's a large cost, and just final studio things that have to be done on site in a studio, and legal costs and licensing fees. And so to help pay for these costs, because it's the only thing really holding up the film's release, we are seeking companies to come in that they can advertise their product, their brand with the film, sponsor film events, and it's a great way to reach their key demographic of their market audience. They're trying to reach families, students, schools, colleges, and all that. through our film. So we are inviting and starting to work with companies who are, you know, that we're contacting and others that are hearing about us through interviews like this to come on board and promote their product through this award-winning bullying prevention film. And once we do that, then we'll have the funds needed to be able to get this film to schools to be able to utilize it as the educational resource that it was intended to be and that it's been acknowledged to be by academic publications and organizations like the United Nations Association, which gave it their Impact Film Award. So we're really looking forward to get this out there because we know this will be a tool to prevent bullying and hopefully prevent future tragedy.
Yes. We're going to take a break now. We're talking with filmmaker Cassidy McMillan, the producer, director, actor, journalist for Bullies and Friends. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to talk about, we're going to revisit the necessity for Bullies and Friends and the need for financial support, but we're also going to talk about other things that Cassidy is doing in her life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. During the 1968 elections, the most recognizable faces in the country belonged not to the politicians, but to two American cultural icons. The first was William F. Buckley, popular host of TV's conservative talk show, Firing Line. The second was prolific novelist and left-wing ideologue, Gore Vidal. Best of Enemies is the story of their most notorious match. In a bid to cut costs, ABC Television had decided to forego gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Republican and Democratic conventions. They hired Buckley and Vidal to provide commentary, with Howard K. Smith as their moderator. Thus was the format set for all future TV network convention coverage. The extreme and often very comical disputes now feel shockingly prophetic. Both Vidal and Buckley were passionate about the future of America. Each genuinely feared the other's views would destroy us all. But initially, they provided audiences with the most sophisticated, witty, and polite intellectual debate ever seen on live television. Nevertheless, things quickly got serious when Gore labeled Buckley as a crypto-Nazi, and Buckley fumed, "Now listen, you I'll suck you in your face." All this against the backdrop of the Chicago riots raging outside. Thus, pass the art of civilized debate into now distant memory. Best of Enemies. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to my conversation today on the Reasonable Voices radio talk show with filmmaker Cassidy McMillan. She is a producer, director, writer, and actress and journalist who has created this feature-length documentary film entitled Bullies and Friends. It is for educators and parents and both the bully and the bully's target to help prevent bullying. Cassidy's Bullies and Friends has reached the point where it has a worldwide distributor, but there are other costs that are still need to be met. And so Bullies and Friends is looking for advertisers. And maybe this is a good point to give us a websites we can reach, and we'll do it again at the end of the segment.
Yeah, thank you. The film's website is bulliesandfriends.com. So the plural, B-U-L-L-I-E-S-A-N-D-F-R-I-E-N-D-S, bulliesandfriends.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we named the film Bullies and Friends due to kids told us, the thousands of kids we work with on this film, told us that either you're a friend or you're a bully, as if there's no other category. So we title it that, as well as we teach kids, like when I go out and speak, that even if you are bullying someone now, you can certainly stop that behavior and those actions and turn around and become a friend instead. As well as we discuss sometimes, unfortunately, how especially it kind of works with girls a lot, where friends can then turn into an enemy and start bullying you again, just maybe due to jealousy or other issues that need to be addressed and corrected. So anyway, the name of the film is Bullies and Friends, and the website is bulliesandfriends.com, as well as people can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bulliesandfriendsfilm.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Twitter, we're at bullies, N, the letter N, and then the word friends. So at bullies and friends on Twitter.
Very good. And we'll repeat that again at the end. For any film, there are enormous costs. And I'm just wondering if you could sort of list some of them, like studio sound, color, music composing, etc., just so we have some idea of what we're talking about here.
Right. The studio costs, and again, these are costs that are out of our control, as they're mandated by the facility. You know, it can be anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 to get all of the final sign-offs required for mm-hmm. studio sound, color, mixing the music score with it, paying the music composer to come in and set up all the music tracks and write original pieces. And we have some of the music, and the rock band Simple Plan, that's managed by Warner Brothers Records. They're on their label. Warner Brothers donated one of their hit songs, and that was a huge savings to us, as well as we just felt that their song, I'm Just a Kid, worked with the film, but that would have been an expense of anywhere from $20,000 and up, but they donated that. But again, we have those costs of the studio facilities that we have to go into to prepare the film and all distribution platforms, because the distribution platform, let's say for Netflix, is different than what it has to be for DVD
of course, iTunes. Yes.
So it has to be prepared in all those different formats, and that does, you know, cost, we need funds for it. And as well as all films, TV shows have to have closed captioning, meet FCC regulation standards. You know, for the American with Disabilities Act, of course, we want closed captioning for audiences, you know, for those that are hard of hearing or,
sure.
You know, cannot hear. So, but those closed captioning costs, again, they have to be done by a closed captioning studio company. And, you know, so there's the transcription cost and then the closed captioning combined. So, again, the rate that you're being quoted and, you know, have the estimates from are coming in anywhere from $5,000 up to $18,000 total for those. And that's why a lot of times, many of the TV shows you watch, like whether it's Entertainment Tonight or whatever, they'll say, oh, closed captioning provided by.
Yes.
And that's because
it's paid for. Expense. Yes.
So, right. So that's why they need those advertisers to pay for the closed captioning, because it's such an expensive cost.
Sure.
So we need to raise those costs as well. In addition to errors in omissions insurance, again, every TV show or movie you watch, whether in a movie theater, on your computer or TV, you need errors in omissions insurance. And again, for a two-hour movie, the cost we're looking at is anywhere from $1,000 up to $9,500.
Mm.
So those are all costs that we need to raise. Again, this is a truly independent film that was self-funded. I put basically all my personal resources I had and paychecks toward this, and as well as we're all donating our work for producing and all that.
Sure.
So that is something that, you know, all the work on the film is being donated, as well as equipment costs, overhead, internet costs, all of the equipment, computers, editing equipment, as well as editors and everything else involved. So mm-hmm. there's just a lot of expenses, office insurance and all of that.
Yes. You are associated with or working with Amanda Todd Legacy? And what is
right.
it? Uh-huh. Tell us a bit about them and the National Voices for Equality Education.
Right, yes. We're working, in the film, we're working with a couple of different organizations,
mm-hmm.
With National Voices for Equality Education and Enlightenment. I'm on their board of directors and their director of communications, and it's nonprofit education for organization that works to prevent bullying and suicide and prevent discrimination in schools. So our film works with them on programs, and I speak at their events. Mm. And when the film is released, we'll be doing film premiere events with them and fundraisers to help both of our work to prevent bullying and suicide. And with the Amanda Todd Legacy Foundation, that was founded by the mom of a girl who committed suicide. Mm. And her name was Amanda Todd. And actually, she grew up not far from Dawn Marie, the girl featured in the film. So actually, the mom of Dawn Marie and the mom of Amanda know each other. And so I'm working with them to raise awareness, and their goal is the same, to prevent bullying, suicide, and to raise awareness of mental health among teens and how that contributes to depression due to bullying, and then that depression leads to suicide. And so again, the film is working with them. Amanda Todd will also be featured in the film. We'll discuss her story a little bit, and because we do address other bullying incidents from across the globe, of other boys and girls who lost their lives due to bullying, or how bullying has impacted school violence on campuses. So with our work with the Amanda Todd Legacy Foundation in Canada, the film will also be doing film premiere events with them, fundraisers for their nonprofit and our film, to get word out again about bullying prevention. And so they're looking forward to this film getting released, because it will be an educational resource for both of these organizations, as well as it will also help their organization as far as to help them continue to do their work.
Of course.
So we work hand in hand, and we discuss various issues that we can all address, because we also all work with government leaders, as well as school leaders, community leaders, in creating bullying prevention initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So to help also create things that will affect change.
I'm glad that you know, that Bullies and Friends is aligning itself and being aligned with such organizations that have similar goals and missions, because we all need to work together to prevent bullying. I know I've said before when talking to you, you are addressing the problem at the beginning of the problem, at the root of the problem, with children. I'm so impressed with the work you do in schools, when it's easier to get to an open mind that's still open to being educated. Can you tell us something about who's working with you?
Right. Our associate producers, Brenda Fees and her sister Elizabeth Fees, they're award-winning filmmakers themselves, film directors, writers, and so they've been fantastic and helping with filming, and Liz is also our second unit director of photography and all that, so their help and assistance with this film has been great, as well as just as a female filmmaker, I think it's important that we all work together, and we do, and we all band together to help each other's projects, and so they've been great, and they totally care about causes, and they're committed to the work that this film is doing. And we also have a great composer who's helping us out, Catherine Graylish, then others coming on board as executive producers, and our film's advisor is mega hit producer Barry W. Goldstein, who produced the films Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, The Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere, and the Under Siege movies, and he's phenomenal and really great producer. He actually used to be a prosecuting attorney before he came into the film business.
Mm.
But Gary has just been phenomenal, and I mean, just to have the producer of the iconic film Pretty Woman on board, as an advisor, and he cares about this cause. So we just really appreciate everybody who's come on board.
I think it says a lot that such a talent has joined you, which seems to be quite a statement of faith and trust in your work as well. That's quite a compliment, I think, is I guess what I'm saying. Tell me, you know, you and I, when we talk, we speak primarily about Bullies and Friends, understandably, and I do want to get back to the websites before we close, but what are some of the other things? I don't think I've ever asked you before. You are involved in film production as an actor in other ways. Tell us about some of those. What have you done lately, as they say?
Yes. I primarily kind of look at myself as an actress-writer who also happens to direct and produce work on films that can make change, whether documentaries or narrative films. But, as an actress, it's just one of my main passions. And I recently had the opportunity, the great opportunity, to be able to star in the production of the Tony Award-winning play God of Carnage that received the Tony Award for Best Play. And I was just truly blessed and thankful to be able to be cast in one of the lead roles of Veronica Novak,
yes,
who actually Academy Award winner Marcia Gay Harden portrayed on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And Marcia won the Tony Award for Best Actress for the play in 2009, and I was just honored to be able to portray that role. The play is a 90-minute dramatic play, and it's very challenging as there's no intermission.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those rare plays where there's no intermission,
mm-hmm,
and it's just actors portraying two New York City couples. All four actors are on stage the entire 90 minutes,
yes,
and it's just sort of like, once the play starts, it just takes off. And, it's like a speeding train that just goes out of stage. And so it was a very physically demanding role and an emotional role as well. A lot of highs, lows, as well as there's like physical fights and
yes,
just emotional turbulence. And yeah, it's about two New York City couples to meet at one of the couples' brownstones there in New York.
Mm-hmm.
To discuss the situation of the one couple's 11-year-old son knocked out two teeth of the other couple's son,
mm-hmm,
and knocked his two teeth out with a stick. And from there, they talk about what's going to happen and what the school's going to do and how to address it, which kind of falls in line with
exactly
the bullying theme.
Yes.
And, but yeah, from there, you know, things just kind of unravel and layers of, you know, humanity kind of peel off, as it were, and kind of uncover what's going on with the two couples, and it just kind of speaks to society,
mm-hmm,
and from there. So, and secrets are kind of revealed about their lives and, you know, maybe their hopes and dreams or and issues that got in the way. And so it's a very emotional play, and I was just thankful to be able to do it. And we had a successful full week run here in Southern California, and audiences loved it and would get great reviews. And really thankful for that. So definitely a challenge to work,
yes,
on the film, and then, you know, doing rehearsals like from 6 p.m. to midnight every night, and then, you know, going in and doing the play. But it was deeply rewarding, and I worked with a great cast, just amazing group with three other actors, and it was a phenomenal undertaking, and I'm really glad that I was able to do that.
You know, Cassidy, something else I've never asked you. Have you... just so everyone knows, I've never met Cassidy. I have pictures of her, very talented and lovely Cassidy McMillan, but I've never met her, and I've never asked this question, but I'd like to know, have you, either as an actress or as the producer, director, and writer of Bullies and Friends, do you run into what we see traditionally, historically anyway, Hollywood's discriminating against female artists in opportunities, in roles, in career development? Have you had any of that? Has Bullies and Friends ever had to hit that wall?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. Any female actor, or director, producer, writer that I know or have read about faces that here in Hollywood. And recently, yeah, I discussed it in a magazine article that asked me about it. It's become a topic that has come to light, especially Jennifer Lawrence came out talking about pay inequality, extreme pay inequality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lead actress in a film versus lead actor, and, you know, lead actress might actually have a larger role or the same, and but being paid far less.
Mm.
But yes, as a filmmaker myself and actress, I've definitely come up against that factor, that challenge.
Mm.
While there certainly are male colleagues, producers, executives who are fabulous and you know, work with women and look at us as equals, which, you know, we all
you are yes.
You know, and that's great, like Gary W. Goldstein and all of that. But certainly, yeah, I mean, I've gone into meetings with top executives from certain studios, like either in regard to Bullies and Friends or the screenplay that I've written based on a true story for the narrative film. And, you know, I have had some male executives say, oh, well, this will never work because audiences don't want to see stories about women.
Oh,
I've actually been told that, you know,
oh my God,
to my face, you know, in a meeting. And it's just so jarring that, you really just, like, I just sat there going, he just said that, like, this is really happening. Like,
you just can't believe it. And you think it's gone, but it isn't. It isn't.
Yeah, it just was amazing, you know, and he said, well, this one studio executive said to me, well, you do know, and he actually said, this quote to me, he said, well, you do know that the film industry, you know, we really are a boys' club.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Said, so, yeah, and he said, so, you know, this kind of thing, like, you know, you have all of these leading roles for women, and really this just isn't something that the industry, like, looks favorably on or is interested in, because this isn't going to bring in the money, because audiences aren't going to want to see true life stories about women or stories about women.
And
it just was shocking.
Well, it's not just shocking, obviously. It's not even true. It's not even remotely true. I could go on.
Right.
And on,
I mean, like, if you look at some of the films nominated for Golden Globe Awards,
yes,
you know, for Best Picture this year, so many are female-driven, like the movie Carol and whatnot. And, you know, it just couldn't be further from the truth. And women comprise so much, a large percentage of box office ticket sales, not the majority. So, like I said, I mean, more male executives than not, you know, realize that and know that. But there's certainly really almost, you know, 50% of the equation that women do get discriminated against. So recently, just this past week in the Hollywood Reporter, an article came out and said, oh, our annual director's roundtable. Guess what? Annual director's roundtable for the Hollywood Reporter was all men.
Oh, God.
You know, so many people tweeted out on Twitter, you know, where's the women?
Yes.
As well as to note, there also was no African Americans. Mm-hmm. There are much diversity in the group as basically white men. So I guess all of the female-directed films this year that were box office successes and critical acclaim apparently directed themselves. So, you know, there's still, you know, there's glaring omissions like that where you just kind of sit there and go, wow, I can't believe, you know, that was just published and put out.
And they seem so oblivious to the fact that we have evolved. Well, we have run out of time, and there is social media to fight the good fight as well. But I wonder, do you have a GoFundMe? Did you give us that?
Yes, we do have a GoFundMe campaign page for the funding. And it's GoFundMe.com/BulliesAndFriends.
Okay, that keeps it simple. All right, then. Cassidy, as always, what can I say? It's a conversation of extremes with you. All the great work you're doing, and then we hear things about men being blind to, you know.
Some men.
Some men, exactly. But I just want to wish you all the best. I know I always say that to you. I hope the radio interviews are helpful, and I hope those that hear will be a part of supporting Bullies and Friends, which is a great feature-length documentary film that needs worldwide release and needs your support to get that, because we need to prevent bullying of our children. We need to eliminate bullying right at the beginning where it starts, in elementary and middle and high schools. Thank you so much, Cassidy McMillan, for being on the show today. I greatly appreciate you as a person and filmmaker. Thank you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, too. You're one of our biggest supporters, and I appreciate all of your help.
Well, I'm glad to do it. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
Hi, I'm Cassidy McMillan. I'm the director and writer of the documentary film Bullies and Friends.
Because I never would have wanted any of them to be scared.
A child of 14 would take her own life because of bullying.
Bullies and Friends tells the true story of a 14-year-old girl named Dawn Marie, who, after being bullied and threatened with death by three girls at her school, hung herself in her bedroom with her dog's leash. In her suicide note, Dawn Marie named her three tormentors. The incident sparked a groundbreaking investigation that led to the precedent-setting court case, where for the first time in North America, teens were made to stand trial for bullying.
When my sister Brenda and I first saw the documentary Bullies and Friends, we knew we wanted to get involved however we could.
Bullying has become a worldwide epidemic. Thousands of children from across the globe have committed suicide due to bullying.
As a nurse, I've seen bullicide have horrific effects on the family and friends.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, bullying among school-aged children is a major public health problem. Over the past 10 years, the occurrence of bullying-related suicides across the globe has shown the connection between bullying and suicides. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among children. Tragically, almost every other week from across the globe, another child commits suicide due to bullying. These are only several of the children who have taken their lives due to being bullied. Seth Walsh, Stephen Urey, Carlos Vigil, Rebecca Ann Sedwick, Phoebe Prince, Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, Kelly Yeomans, Bart Pelos, Jasmine McLean. One child is too many. We need to take action now.
You can get involved by joining this film's cause of bullying and bullicide prevention.
I first heard about Dawn Marie's story on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I was horrified to learn that a 14-year-old girl would feel so terrified that she felt her only escape was to take her own life.
I reached out to Dawn Marie's mom, Cindy. Cindy and I both felt that telling Dawn Marie's story would help prevent another boy or girl from taking their life due to bullying.
Bullies and Friends not only recounts this powerful story, but it offers solutions to bullying, to schools, parents, kids, and communities. In the film, we have interviews with the nation's top bullying experts, and an exclusive interview with the judge who presided over and handed down the precedent-setting ruling, as well as interviews with teens involved in the case, including the main teen girl brought to trial for bullying. In making Bullies and Friends, I've traveled to schools and youth organizations across North America, where I've worked with thousands of kids, hundreds of teachers, parents, educators, counselors, and other community leaders in my research on bullying and bullicides.
We were really struck by how this film actually presents solutions to bullying. The film is emotional and deeply affecting.
I'm hoping that Cassidy's work can save lives.
Brenda and I set up a special film screening of Bullies and Friends that was just for parents, teachers, and kids so that they could all talk about the film afterwards. Bullies and Friends opened the dialogue on bullying and bullying prevention. The kids and their parents at our film festival screening really wanted to show it at their school. We can really relate to how much Cassidy has sacrificed as a filmmaker to make this project happen. This film can help so many kids, and it's already making a huge difference.
At some of the screenings at schools, students have come up to us afterward and said that prior to seeing the film, they were this close to committing suicide due to bullying they were experiencing, but said that after they saw this film, they knew that someone cared, they saw the devastation their death would cause, and now said that they would seek help instead. And that, to us, has made the long journey in making this film more than worth it.
We've had people say to us that they want to help prevent bullicide, but they don't know what to do. Helping this film raise money and get out into the world is how you can help.
The film has been met with tremendous positive response from schools, organizations, and events throughout North America where we've screened early versions of the film. We went ahead and held preview screenings due to audience demand from schools.
This film has achieved distribution with a global distribution company. The company is patiently standing by, waiting for the film, but we must meet all the funding requirements. Know that you will be involved with a film with an important cause already slated for worldwide release. This campaign's funding is needed for all the pre-distribution requirements to get this film released across the globe. Costs include multi-platforms of distribution, closed captioning, sound mixing, and the many other production costs.
Only a small percentage of independent films get selected by a distributor for worldwide release. We're very proud that Bullies and Friends was able to achieve this amazing accomplishment.
This is an all-or-nothing campaign. If we don't raise the total funds needed, this bullying prevention film cannot be released to the schools, parents, kids, and communities across the globe.
This film is a grassroots movement that is helping kids and communities. Any amount you contribute is huge to us.
Every dollar helps in this campaign to help us prevent bullying and bullicides.
We're asking you to go donate today.
We have great perks, including being among the first to receive the DVD when the film is released. Be listed in the film's credits special thanks section, which means you'll be listed on the film's IMDb page, and the exclusive opportunity to be listed as an associate producer or co-executive producer of this important film.
We're also including a needed stretch campaign to fund the film's bullying prevention outreach tour. We need you to share this campaign and its cause with your family,
amongst your friends,
and anyone you know who's been affected by bullying.
Email, through social networks. If you have any friends in the press and media, please let them know about Bullies and Friends and how helping this film get made can help kids all around the world. We thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.